This is Omar Musni with UN News. A veteran human rights investigator said that, despite her years of experience, she was shocked by the horrific sexual violence perpetrated against Myanmar's ethnic Rohingya. Radhika Kumaraswamy, member of the Independent International Fact-Finding Mission on Myanmar, has been talking to UN News following the release of the mission's report, which is based on the testimonies of hundreds of victims. The report found compelling evidence relating to genocide, war crimes, and crimes against humanity, and attributed primary responsibility to the Myanmar military, who are also known as the Tatmadaw.
Well, we have a whole host of evidence. We have testimonies, about 875 of them. We have satellite imagery. We have photos, videos, experts in forensic and the military who have guided us. So it's been quite a whole much, a great deal of evidence has been gathered. We have pointed out in the report that factors relating to genocide were present, but the whole issue of genocidal intent, we think, can only be found in a court of law. And therefore, what we have suggested is that they be investigated and prosecuted for genocide.
And you're asking the Security Council to refer the matter to the International Criminal Court or to set up an ad hoc tribunal to do that. Can we maybe move on to another element of the report that's going to be presented to the Human Rights Council, your preliminary report? You were the former special rapporteur on sexual violence against women and the causes of it, and you yourself said in an earlier press conference that you were really staggered by the scale of the sexual violence. We're talking mass rape and other sexual violence.
We went to the camps just 2 weeks or so after the events of August 2017, so people came in very, very fresh. They showed me their bodies, their scars, their state of mind, and it was really quite horrific in terms of the nature of the sexual violence, from rape to gang rape to mutilation. And I think now people, there are statements that these are all made up, but I can say I saw with my own eyes the consequences of some of this violence. So it's not true. These are very, very true stories. Well, you know, for example, one woman said, I was lucky I was raped by only three men. You know, that was the kind of extraordinary violence that was witnessed.
The report also notes that approximately 500,000 Rohingya children fled to Bangladesh, and many left after their parents were killed or after being separated from their families. So they are presumably the victims of this violence too. What is going to happen to them? What are your recommendations for their protection?
Well, we met a lot of them too. We met the children as well. We must realize that children are always the first that the parents just send without parents. So they come in as orphans, looking at least like orphans until the parents are traced later on. I think what we have to do is to try to push for some kind of education framework for these children in these camps until they find a situation where they can be repatriated. I think that's the key issue that is at the moment rising. But their concerns have to be met.
And going back to the events that led to this mass exodus of over 700,000 Rohingya from northern Rakhine State, what was the role of the civilian authorities in all this, and particularly Head of State Aung San Suu Kyi, Nobel Peace Prize laureate?
Well, let me be very clear. Our report is very clear that the primary responsibility and the effective control of the Tatmadaw that did all this violence was the Tatmadaw.
Tatmadaw, the Myanmar military.
Myanmar military. We have to be very clear, and the civilian authorities do not constitutionally have the power for oversight, and they also just were not part of any planning, whatever. What we're saying is that post-August, there are acts and omissions that they did that may have contributed to some of the violence that was taking place. And we feel that Dame Aung San Suu Kyi should have used her moral authority to try and prevent or at least condemn what was going on.
So how are you going to prevent this happening again? Many recommendations. You target and you name the commander-in-chief. It's been suggested that he might step down immediately. Why is accountability so important in this case?
Well, I think accountability means two things. It means justice for the people who were affected. And secondly, it means that it'll deter, we hope, future atrocities. That people know that the international community will call them accountable. They play by the rules of war when they go to war. And I think that's one of the clear messages of accountability we want here, because the Tatmadaw in other parts of Myanmar, as well as in Rakhine, do not follow the rules of war.
And last question to you. In terms of accountability, one of the ways that it might help to improve transparency and accountability is indeed social media. You've noted the rise of hate speech, particularly in this exodus and in terms of the vitriol towards the Rohingya minority in Myanmar. So you've noted social media platforms. How have you interacted with them? What have they told you? How are they helping promote less hate speech on the web?
Well, I think what we're finding is that social media has become a platform for hate speech as well. I think it has taken them by surprise and taken everybody by surprise. And this is not only in Myanmar, it's also in my country, Sri Lanka. It's been the same in Germany, as the New York Times article 2 days ago pointed out. So I think the world has to look and re-examine independently as well, find out what we can do to deal with this issue of hate speech through the social media. We have to value freedom of speech, but there must be a way in which we have to deal with this hate speech issue.